Please, in our Bibles, to Genesis chapter 49. And we'll read from verse 8 of the chapter. Genesis chapter 49 and reading from verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal upon the vine, and his ass's colt upon the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. Issachar is a strong ass, couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. And we'll end our reading there, when God again will bless the reading of his precious word. Let's just bow again the word of prayer. Our gracious and our loving God, we come at the end of our meeting to seek thee. We thank thee for thy presence already. We thank thee that we have been able to lift up our praises to thee. And O God, we want to hear thy voice now. We want to hear thee speaking to our souls. And we pray that as we come, that the voice of God may be loud in the midst, that thou wouldst come and speak very clearly to each heart and each one that is gathered. Bless and be with us here, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. The tribe of Dan is a tribe with a very checkered history. There are times when it was good, and there were times when it was very bad. Certainly Dan did not have a very good beginning, because he was born as a result of the envy of Rachel. Genesis chapter 30 and verse 1 says, and Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children. Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And what an awful thing envy can be. And the word of God is highlighted in the truth. Unless the purple monster of envy is curbed, it will bring about an awful amount of trouble. Sometimes in the church, maybe God raises up some young man or some young woman and blesses them. And sometimes even God's people can become envious. We need to be careful about envy. But notice that Rachel in Genesis 30 is almost hysterical in her envy. She says, give me children or I die. Here is mental despair. Here are unreasonable demands. She was making demands of Jacob that was beyond Jacob's power to control. And of course, to be childless is an awful thing to bear. We certainly understand that. But here is a despair that goes beyond the natural despair, and she becomes unreasonable in what she is asking of Jacob. And Jacob is angry of such demands, because we read in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 2, and Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And then we notice what Rachel did. In verse 3 it says, and she said, behold my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. Now that was hardly right. It was hardly right that she took her maid, and that she gave her maid to her husband, and that he she might have her desires satisfied. But that's how Dan was born. Dan was the son, really, of the bondwoman. And you notice what Rachel said, if you're in Genesis 30, when Dan was born. She said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore shall therefore called she his name Dan. Here was Rachel, and what she was doing was wrong, but she felt that God had blessed her, because here she was bluffing herself. Here she was with a warped sense of what God had done for her here, and she has twisted the thing, and what was starting out with as a matter of envy and sin, she thinks that God has blessed her for it. And here she is, that she's believing that something blessed has come out of that which was wrong. And there was a blessing, of course, in the fact that Dan had been born. But here is that warped sense of what God had done. But you know, here was Dan, and it started out as a result of envy. But you know, God, his name here, Dan, means judge. And it says that Rachel said that God hath judged her. And she called his name Dan, or judge. But I want you to see that Jacob here is willing to bless the son of the bond woman. Maybe Dan was thinking here Jacob had gone through the sons of Leah. And maybe he's thinking to himself, where will I fit in? I'm only the son of a maid. And maybe he thought about Abram, who had cast out the bond maid and her son. And maybe he's saying, will Jacob count me in? Will I be counted in amongst the sons of Jacob? And thank God that here is the story of mercy. He is counted in. He is brought in. And there's no difference between the sons of the bondwoman and the sons of Jacob's wives. Here is God's mercy. He will judge, we're told here, as one of the tribes of Israel. He is going to be brought in. He is one of the tribes of Israel. And how wonderful that must have been for Dan. And yet you'll find, as we trace the history of this tribe, that not always was that mercy treated in the way that it should have been. Here was special grace and special mercy. And yet at times through the history of this tribe, that special grace and that special mercy was despised and misused. And I want us to look at this tribe today, because here is the history of so many. Here was a man, as it were, he was right down in the dust, but God lifted him high. And yet, he turned against the God who had so blessedly used him. And how many there are that walk the backsliding path today. They're away in the mountains, wild and bare. They are those that are away from God. So, let us see this tribe of Dan. And I want you to see what Jacob has to say about him, what Moses has to say about him in these portions of Scripture. And the first thing I want you to see is Dan's possession. Look at Genesis chapter 49 and look at verse 16. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. As we said, there's a play on names here. Dan shall judge. His name means judge. And his name is God is my judge. Now Jacob is remembering the boy's name. And he says he will judge as one of the tribes of Israel. He's counted as one of the tribes. And of course, that is fulfilled. You know, God's word always is fulfilled. We think of how Dan became one of the judges of Israel. And we're thinking of the times after Joshua and the deliverers who came to be the judges of Israel. And these judges were mighty deliverers as well as judges. And one of the greatest of those judges, one of the mightiest of those judges, was a man by the name of Samson. And if you turn over to Judges chapter 13, and you read what is said about Samson, look at Judges chapter 13, and look at verse 2, and it says, and there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren, and she bare not. And then we're told that she conceived. If you look at verses 24 and 25, it says, "And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol." So you'll see that Samson was a Danite. He was of the tribe of Dan. He was this great judge of Israel. And he was a mighty man. You think of the fights that he had with the Philistines. And he was mightily used of God to be a deliverer. But you know something about this prophecy. It is striking in the way that God lays it down. Because if you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 33, to what Moses says about the tribe of Dan. Just take a look at it. Deuteronomy chapter 33. And look at verse 22. This is what Moses said about Dan when he was blessing the tribes. "And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan." So Dan was a lion's whelp. Now, a lion is the symbol of authority. A lion is the symbol of rule. And there are four tribes in the Bible that have the lion associated with them. The tribe of Judah that we have seen. And also in Hosea chapter 5 and verse 14, Ephraim is pictured as a lion, although sarcastically, because they had turned away from God. And in 1 Chronicles 5 and 1, Gad is symbolized as a lion. Now there's something significant about those four tribes. Because in Numbers chapter 2, you will find the standard bearers. There were four standard bearers of the camp of Israel. Reuben was one of them. But Reuben lost his place, and I believe that Gad took over. But the other ones were Dan, and there was Ephraim, there was Dan, and there was Judah. Those are the four standard bearers of Israel. They are the ones that had the authority. And they had the birthright, as it were, of being the standard bearers. But I want you to notice that though Dan is likened to a lion in Deuteronomy chapter 33, he is called a lion's whelp. In other words, he's a young lion. He's an immature lion. And isn't that significant when you think about Samson? Samson was the judge of Israel, but he was an immature judge. You think of how he often got into trouble with women and so on and so forth. And he went out and he fought and he won great battles with the Philistines. But the next thing you find him away down with some woman down amongst the Philistines or doing something that's wrong. We think of how he was overcome by Delilah and so on and so forth. And you see the way that the Bible fits in. He's a lion's whelp. He's an immature lion. He's not a fully grown lion. And isn't that just the way it turned out with Samson? He was a judge, Dan judged Israel, but he judged as a lion's whelp, as an immature lion. But you know, it is in many ways wonderful that Dan should judge at all. You know, in many ways we could think of Dan as one of the least, or the least, of the tribes of Israel. Isn't that what Samson said when God called him? "I'm of the least of the tribes." And in Numbers chapter 10, you will read why perhaps they were called the least of the tribes. Because if you turn over to Numbers chapter 10, and you look in verse 25, you will see the order of the tribes when they were journeying through the wilderness. We said before that Judah led the way. But in Numbers chapter 10 and verse 25, it says, "And the standard of the camp of the children of Dan set forward, which was the rearward of all the camps throughout their hosts. And over his host was Ahiezer, the son of Ammi Shaddai." So this was the last tribe. He took up the rear. Dan took up the rear. They were the last. And we might say, well, here's the last of the tribes. But you know, if we think of it like that, we're wrong, because God had put Judah first, but God also had placed Dan last. And God, from God's standpoint, these were their appointed places. And Dan was there last. And maybe sometimes, maybe you think of yourself as the least and the lowest. Maybe you think, well, I don't count. Maybe you have a shy disposition. Or maybe you don't have maybe the ability of somebody else. And you would think, well, I always taken up the rearward. I'm always paddy last, as it were. But you know, if we think that God has you in a place, God has given you your personality, God has given you the ability that you have, and you have an ability that nobody else has. You're not like anybody else. Each person, you know, we might have that inferiority complex. And we might think that we are the least and the lowest. And sometimes when a person is inferior, or where they have that inferiority complex, they're always trying to prove themselves. Always trying to boast that there's something that they feel that they must boast and tell others how good they are. There's an inferiority complex. But there's nobody like you. There's nobody like you. No two individuals are the same. And God has placed you in your position and in your circumstances for a reason. He has a job for you to do. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. He was given the full status as one of the tribes. He was placed in the place where he would be a judge. He might have thought he was the least and the lowest, but God had promoted him. And God can take you, and he can promote you, and he can use you in a way perhaps that you never felt. So we notice his position. But then there's something else about Dan in Genesis 49:9 that I want you to see, and that is his portion. It says, and Dan, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 22 rather, it says, and of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp, he shall leap from Bashan. So Dan was going to leap from Bashan. Now Bashan is up there in the Golan Heights, way up in the north of Israel. It is on the border of Syria. In fact, 2/3 of the Golan Heights were captured by Israel in the Six-Day War in 1967. And when we were on the tour of Israel a few years ago, we went up on the Golan Heights and we were passing the Tel Dan, the town of Dan, the ruins of Dan, the city of Dan, and the guide pointed over in the trees, that's where Tel Dan is. We didn't stop there, but that's where it was. Away up in the north, away up in the regions beyond the rest of the tribes of Israel. And when Dan entered into the promised land, that wasn't the territory that they were given. Instead, they were given a territory that was bordered on the Mediterranean Sea. They were given the great port of Joppa, or Haifa, as it is called today. And it was territory that bordered along the Philistine territory, down south in Canaan. Now that territory that was allocated to Dan included the town of Ekron, which was a Philistine town. But they never drove the Philistines out. And we find that Dan was allocated a territory, and they were given 18 cities, but they only ever captured 6 of them. And in Joshua chapter 19 and verse 47, the territory of Dan is described as too little for them. There was not enough room. You see, they hadn't captured all that God had given them. They hadn't entered into all their possessions. They hadn't entered into the blessings that God had given them. Because of that, there was no room. They were partially obedient to God and they captured some of the territory, but because they didn't go all the way through with God, there was no room. Not only was there no room, but as we said, their territory bordered upon the territory of the Philistines. That's why Samson was constantly fighting with the Philistines, because the tribe of Dan and the Philistines were neighbors. And we could say that Dan was a border people. And having ministered in Auchnacloy and in Corrigarry, I have experience of the burden that border people bear. They're in the heat of the attack. They're in the heat of the battle. And they said to themselves, well, we can't stay here. It's too small for us. And it's too difficult. We're in the middle of a battle all the time. We're fighting with the Philistines all the time. What will we do? How can we get a land that will accommodate us? And they said, well, we can't take any of the land of the other tribes of Israel because they are given to them of God. They are their portions. So they said, we'll go way up north beyond the allocations that are given to the tribes of Israel. And there we will find a land for ourselves. And in Judges chapter 18 and verse 27, we're told that they sent out spies. And they went away up north. And they came across a little town by the name of Laish. Now Laish is the same place that the guide pointed out to us that is called Dan, that is Tel Dan today. And they said that this was a people, that they were a people that were quiet and secure. In other words, they were a people that weren't used to fighting. And they said this would be a good place for us to dwell. And so they went away up there and they captured the environs of Tel Dan, of Tan. And in other words, they leaped upon Bashan. They leaped from the south up to the north. And they had a new territory. And they founded the city and then they captured Laish and they named it Dan. But I want you to realize why they did that. They did it because they no longer wanted to be in the fight. They no longer wanted to be in the battle. And so they wanted to be a place, to get into a place that was quiet and secure. A place where they no longer had to fight and they no longer had to battle. And there are many of God's people today. And they have got fed up and discouraged with the fight and with the battle. We are in a battle against the world and the flesh and the devil. And we battled against the forces of apostasy and ecumenism and liberalism today. And there are people who want to have a cozy life. And they don't want to battle against apostasy and against abortion and against ecumenism and against euthanasia and against liberalism. And we no longer want to be in the battle. And we are uncomfortable with the battle. And so we're looking for a place that is quiet and secure. Well, of course, that's going to be a disaster, as we'll see, with the tribe of Dan. It led to disaster with Dan. And it will lead to disaster with us. We've got to be in the fight and we've got to be in the battle and we've got to be constantly battling against the world and the flesh and the devil and against apostasy and against ecumenism and all these things. Down here, we see their portion. They didn't enter into their portion. They didn't gain it all. And so what they had was too little and they leaped to Bashan. They got a new territory. And they got a new city. But then I want you to see something else about Dan. Notice his poison. Because if you look at verse 7, it says, Dan, this is Genesis 49 again. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. Now, Dan there is likened to an adder or a little rock serpent that would hide in the cracks of the ground and would leap out and was very poisonous and it would bite the horse heels and bring the horse down and so on. So there's something poisonous about Dan. And that is certainly true of his history. If you turn to Leviticus chapter 24, you will read about the first blasphemy, as it were, the first public blasphemy. And we read there about the son of an Israelite woman who was married to an Egyptian. And this son here blasphemes the name of the Lord. Now the Israelite woman, we're told, is of the tribe of Dan. She was a Danite. So the first one who blasphemed the name of the Lord in this public fashion here is a Danite. And then something else about Dan. Not only is he the first to introduce this public blasphemy, but he's the first to introduce idolatry in any public way. Of course, there'd been idolatry before, but Dan brings it in the full-scale way. Because The whole story about Dan going up to found this new city in the north, we haven't told the whole story, because in Judges chapter 17, we read about a man called Micah the Ephraimite. Now, Micah decides to melt some money down, and he makes an ephod and a teraphim. An ephod was the outer garments of the high priest, and a teraphim was a sort of an image, a sort of a black magic charm. And this man, this Ephraimite, makes this teraphim and this ephod, and then he appoints his son to be a priest. He wasn't a Levite, but he appoints him to be a priest of this idolatrous kind of religion that he has. But when there comes along a Levite by the name of Jonathan, the son of Gershom, who probably was a descendant of Moses, this man Micah says, well, I would better have a Levite to be my priest. At least he recognizes that only the Levites were God's legitimate priests. And he gives money to this man, Jonathan, the son of Gershom, to be his priest. And Jonathan accepts the money and becomes a paid priest. Now, as the tribe of Dan, these spies from the tribe of Dan, were going up north to spy out the country to see where they could get a new territory for themselves, they come across the house of Micah. And they go in and he entertains them, and they see this priest, and they ask the priest whether God will prosper them on their journey up north to find a new territory for their tribe. And Jonathan tells them, yes, God will prosper you. And they went up and they found this city that was quiet and secure. And they went back again to the tribe of Dan down in the south. And they said, we have found a great place. And you know, we came across a priest who said that we would be blessed and that God would help us. And what he has said has come to pass. And so when the armies of the Danites were going up north again to capture Dan, what became Dan, they stopped by with Micah and with his priest. And they said, we'll give you more money if you come and be a priest with us. And because he was only after the money, he accepted. And he took the ephod, and he took the teraphim, and he went up with the tribe of Dan. And this is the point. Judges chapter 17 and verse 30 says, and the children of Dan set up the graven image. So they became idolaters. They had turned away from God. They had flouted God's commandment that they were not to make unto them any graven image. They set up the graven image. They entered idolatry into the tribes of Israel. There was poison there. And then later on, we read about Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Remember how he took over the northern part of Israel and Judah, as it were. And in 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 26, it says, and Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. They said, well, we have broken off with Judah. We've broken off relationships with Jerusalem. But the people have to go up to Jerusalem to worship. He says, what can I do about that? So here's what he did, and says in verse 28, whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And he set up one in Bethel and the other in Dan. So Dan again becomes a center of idolatry. Now, I'm probably going to be asked as to why, when you read some of the lists of the tribes, particularly the one in Revelation chapter 7, the tribe of Dan is missing. All the other tribes are sealed, but Dan is missing there. Well, I think that the explanation here is the one that we could give, that this is the tribe that introduced idolatry. And maybe that's the reason why it is missing. Some people would say, well, the Antichrist will arise out of Dan. Well, I don't know about that. But here he is, he's an adder. He's the rock serpent that sits by the way, that bites the horse's heels. There's poison in Dan. And he turned from the commandments of God. God said, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And that's exactly what Dan did. And you can see, here's Jacob so many years before, and he's prophesying. He sees it. And you see, here's this tribe, and it wanted the place that was quiet and secure. It wanted to get out of the battle. It wanted to be out of the heat of the battle. And it went away up north to get out of the battle. And in the north, they introduced idolatry. And they went away from the portion that God had given them. That's the place where God's word was flouted. And when you get away from the place where God wants you to be, other things enter in. Maybe you've gone away from God. You've let something in. You've let things get in that have taken you away from the prayer meeting, or things get in that have taken you away from the services. And my, when those things get in, it's easy for other things to come. One sin builds upon another. And that's what happened with Dan here. We see his poison. But then I want you to see something else. I want you to see his pardon. Because if you look at the end of Genesis chapter 49, you'll see that Jacob breaks into a prayer in the midst of what he says. Look at verse 18. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. He's been speaking about Dan as the serpent by the way, biting the horse's hooves. And he cries out, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. That word waited is a word that is used interchangeably with the word faith. In the Bible, in Isaiah 49, verse 23, it says, they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. And Paul quotes that in Romans chapter 10 and verse 11. And he says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So the word wait and the word believe are the same. Here's a man who believes. Here's a man on his deathbed. And he's believing. He's believing in the Lord. He's believing in God's salvation. What a consolation that must have been to his heart. He is a belief. He's a trust in his God. But what is he waiting for? Well, notice that he's waiting for pardon. He has been thinking about the treacheries of Dan. He's been thinking about the serpent nature of Dan. And here he has been praying for this boy. And he's on his deathbed here. And he's still praying for this boy. And you know, here's an encouragement to those of you that are praying for a straying loved one. You know, maybe it may be that in your life you'll not see them saved. But Jacob here, he's waiting for God's salvation. He's still waiting on his deathbed. He's waiting for the salvation of the Lord. He's waiting for God to take this young fellow of his and God to transform his life. And I'm glad that God does. God does. No, you have been praying long, praying maybe for someone of your family, praying for somebody that is rebellion against him. Oh, thank God for the mighty God of pardon. Wait for him. Don't give up. You've been praying long, praying maybe for years, but wait on. Believe that God is able to do mighty things. Not only is he waiting for pardon, but he's waiting for a person. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. He's looking to the Lord for salvation. He calls it God's salvation. And the Job of the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus of the New Testament. And where is salvation found? It is found in the person of the Son. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope in him. We wait for him. Are you waiting for him today? There is the pardon. There's the person. But there's also the promise. He's waiting for the promise. He's waiting for God to fulfill his word. God had made a covenant promise to Abraham, to Isaac. God had made a promise to Jacob that his sons would be his people. And you'll find that God answers the promise. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 48. I was asked by somebody a couple of weeks ago why there's a difference in the allocation of the tribes in Ezekiel chapter 28 or 48 and 49 from what it seems to be when Joshua allocated the tribes. And that is because this, I believe, is the millennial kingdom. There's a difference here because this is for a day to come. And Ezekiel chapter 48, you have the allocations of the tribes in the time of the millennium. But if you read down it, I want you to see that Dan is there. Dan is mentioned. And if you go on down, if you look in 48 verse 2, you'll see, by the border of Dan from the east side onto the west side, a portion for Asher. And then it goes on and it speaks about the gates of the millennial Jerusalem. And you'll find that there is one of the gates, the 12 gates are called after the tribes of Israel. And it says one gate of Dan. And then you go on down and you read the portions there on down in verses 24 on down from Ezekiel chapter 49. And you'll find that Dan is there. Dan is mentioned. Dan is in there. He's still included. He's still in. Oh, what awful wickedness this tribe got into. What sin he brought in to Israel. What awful things were done by Dan and the tribe of Dan. And yet, he's numbered there in that millennial kingdom. He's there. What a merciful God we have. You know, there's someone here today and you're away from God. And you think of the things that you've done and you feel you're unworthy. How could God bring you back? But God is the God of mercy and the God of grace. You've never been saved. And you think of the things that you've done and you say, well, how could God save me? How could God have mercy upon me? Thank God he's still the God of grace. And he's still the God of mercy. He'll have mercy upon you. Well, thank God, Dan judged as one of the tribes of Israel. He's one of the tribes. He's brought in. He's numbered there. Are you numbered among the people of God? Are you numbered among God's elect? Are you in there? Oh, come today. If you don't know him, trust him. Put your trust in the mighty God of heaven, the God of grace, and the God of mercy. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Lift your